This is Tim McHenry, producer of the Rubin Museum of Art, and you are listening to the Red Book Dialogues on WNYC's Talk to Me series.
Tim asked me to do a little bit of an introduction, a little more of an introduction, before I give you your image. There are two words that are sort of floating around. One is association, and that is Freud's word, and it's a good word. And it means, gee, there's a dog. There's an image of a dog. I had dogs. I had a bunch of dogs. I was allergic to dogs. I was so allergic that the first boyfriend I had, I couldn't kiss him because there were dog hairs. Well, kissing him was like this, and then you go, and you get to something, right? And you get very far away from dog. And the idea for Jung, for Freud, was you'll get to something important. Jung said, stay with the dog, amplify, not associate, amplify. So yes, you had dogs, yes, you were allergic to dogs, yes, your boyfriend had dogs and you couldn't kiss him, but keep coming back to what does it mean if you're allergic to man's best friend? Where's the meaning? How does that play out in your life that you can't have a relationship with man's best friend? Do you see, as you keep kind of coming back to dog and you can associate and then you come back. That's amplification. The Red Book is all about amplification. Jung would have an experience. He would do a drawing. He would write text. He would have story and then he'd play with it. And he'd go down into it and he'd say, oh, this is like this historical, classical. This is Greek, this is whatever, and then he brings it back up and he plays with it more, he relates it out into the world, and he comes back to the image, and then he has another experience, right? That's the Red Book, and that's what I think we might be able to do here. So we'll just play.
Okay.
Okay?
See what happens.
Let me find the image that I picked.
Everybody can
they can see it, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh dear. It's so odd because it's what I was thinking there when I was sitting there. This black tree, the world feels so, there's a thing that George Carlin did this, I'm sure everyone's seen it, his comedy routine on the HBO, and the refrain of this comedy routine was, the earth will be fine.
Yes, right.
And this image immediately brought all the implications of the earth will be fine to me. And it makes me weep. Not only for the earth and everything, but because, look at this family. It looks like the little trees by the side look like a family, but we now have three grandchildren, and I used to believe that everything was going to be fine. But I don't anymore.
No.
I believe that it may look like this black tree, and life is a kind of balance between impending doom and the sense of hope, and there's that here in the picture too. The mandala in the back seems to suggest light, but somehow the light is overcome here by the darkness
of the tree and by
the darkness of the tree, as though the light is the light that you live every day, because you don't, you know, jump out of the window because the black rhinos are dying, but in some way the end seems ever present. Though it's nice. Mm-hmm. It's nice, a little, the light. Somehow the light, the tiny little light up at the back, I don't know where it is, over there, up there. There are reflections of light of the upper glowing thing somehow.
Yeah.
That seem to be whatever it is that keeps us living and doesn't make us fall into despair. And I am of a generation of people who were born into hope. So it's hard, this living this way, because I was born in 1945 and everything was going to be fine.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And instead there's this black tree, and in the shadow of this black tree grow these beautiful creatures, you know, our children and grandchildren and, you know, puppies and the pumpkins that grow in the garden during the day. It's odd, the roots of the black tree are shallow, though.
Yes, and there's an interesting thing. He didn't finish this. You can see, I don't know that you can't really see it on this one, but they're just, it looks sort of finished here, but it actually isn't. He just has little pencil drawings.
Right, you can see them.
And he kind of got stuck that if he was going to make the earth black, you couldn't see the roots at all.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't, for some reason, he didn't finish it. And it's the only unfinished piece in the whole book. And I wonder if, I mean, some of it was just technical. He didn't know how to do that and keep the roots invisible. But there's something less painful about it, in a way.
Yes, in a way, because maybe not immediately painful, but the roots are shallow, so that, you know, whatever the black tree is might go away, and there might be a mystery.
Hmm. So you're imagining it not being so permanent.
It seems not. Mm-hmm. It seems actually not to be rooted in the earth. It reminds me of, because I'm from California, and California, it's comforting to live in the East, weirdly, if you're from California, because in California, all the doings of man seem to be very lightly, not beautifully necessarily, but lightly placed on the earth. And I used to think when I was a kid, hope, actually, that you could sweep it all away and get back to the astoundingly beautiful, fragile world that was there, that I thought we ought not to have we ought not to have defiled in that way. And I feel it even, I can't really, it's hard to go to California now. For that reason, it doesn't look like whatever's going to sweep that away is going to sweep it away, though, you know, there's the apocalypse.
There's earthquakes.
We have the apocalypse once every couple of years, but somehow it doesn't burn it all or wash it all or whatever. But this does seem not as though whatever this thing that it's the black tree is sitting on isn't...
It's not permanent.
It's not permanent, and it is not being... That the black tree is destroying itself, but not the whatever's down here, you know, whatever the... Whatever the world is. And that may be a... There is that, too, about getting older... Also. Oh,
what do you mean? Do you
well, mean? The sense I'm there, it's clear that it's the older you get, the clearer it becomes that it's not going to go on forever. It's one thing, and then and this happens perhaps not as horrifyingly as the black tree, but it you know you change in ways that you never thought were possible. But it's also true. It's also true that you aren't essential to the going on of the world. And in that, you know, that paradoxically, the it's comforting the children, either yours or other people's, that you will, you know. That the particular creature will decay and disappear.
But that there's...
But, you know, you've... The things you've left behind won't necessarily be destroyed by the turning into a black tree, a terrible black tree.
And that may be part of what that burst is in the middle.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's... It's different color in the book.
Well, it's also quite funny, actually, when you look at it, you're right to say, because there's the terrible black tree. And then in the burst are these sort of, it's pink, which seems an odd, you know, young pink. Not so much. I wouldn't have thought so much.
It's not so
or
pink.
Or any serious person pink.
But. It's whiter and pinker. In the book.
Yeah.
You'll all have to buy it.
It is. It's sort of dear. I mean, oddly dear.
Yeah.
It's not this thing, this middle thing here.
Yeah.
It's all pink. Oh, God. You know how your other thing that happens when you get older, your eyes don't focus so well, but then after a while... The whole thing is all different colors here. Oh, it's all, everything's looking up now. Forget the black tree. We're gonna... Cool. Oh, yes, but a lot of pink still. Yes. And when, isn't that odd? When you see the color, it is, it's what happens too, isn't it? When you see the color, it draws you in and the black tree...
Right.
The black tree is not the central image.
Right. It does, it's almost like those optical illusions where you see one thing and then you see the other in it.
And then there's, of course, this ball that...
Well, what do you think?
Well, I mean, stupidly, it looks like the thing that falls down on New Year's Eve. But
that's an association.
We won't proceed with that.
No, but I think there's
something to it.
I mean, if you go to the amplification,
yes.
That's the dawn of the new thing. That's
it
the
is.
Nighttime dawn.
It is, and it's perfectly... It's perfectly... It doesn't have any of those cute pink and green things in it at all. It's perfectly white, as though it's some notion of pure...
Yeah.
Some notion of pure light. But in the world that you live in, because all the other... All the other rays go away and don't do anything or turn into the tree or something.
But that one is that is one, its own thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And it looks like... It doesn't... You know, sometimes things look like they're holding the thing up. It doesn't look... It looks like it's grown out of it.
Huh.
Not that... You know, not that the thing is... Not that the pink thing... I suppose it's bad to call it the pink thing, but I'm...
You can call it
I'm taken
thing.
By the pinkness of it. The pink thing is not being... is not suspended from that white, the white moon New Year's Eve ball.
Yes, it's got its own world.
Yeah,
somehow.
It's come out of it.
See, the pink thing is sort of held by the branches, because there are branches back behind, you see?
I see that. Oh, I would take issue with
that. Okay, go.
Well, now, of course. Now, because I'm following the authority. Well, of course.
No.
Back in
there.
So it doesn't have anything to do with the damn tree. It still doesn't even. It still doesn't feel. It feels as though it's glowing in there, as though it came perhaps from somewhere else and not out of the tree.
Yeah, right. I agree. Where did it come from?
I don't know.
I mean, what's the feeling of it?
Well, the feeling of it here in this circumstance is hope, whatever that thing is that keeps us alive from day to day, and not in despair. I mean, I'm not at all sure that the human experiment was a terrific idea and that it's going to work out all right anyway, and it certainly was bad for the black rhinos and all like that, and for our fellow people far too often. But there is the possibility. We have, it's as though we've been given both these enormously destructive possibilities and the possibility of joy. Mm. You know, the wackiness of pink in the middle of the end of the world. And it's a little bit antic, you know. It's not beautiful.
No.
It's sort of silly,
the little burst.
The little bursty thing.
Yeah.
Silly, like, you know, silly in the... It's an odd idea of silliness. Kandinsky and Miro had this idea of silliness, but also a lot of petroglyphs are sometimes silly in this way, too.
Right.
Sort of antic moments, as though the great seriousness of the enterprise is broken by a flash of pink or a... when you throw a water balloon, which is fun, doesn't do too much damage if you don't throw it from too high.
Right.
I'm from California. You never could get very high. So.
Oh, you're from there too.
And we do remember, no matter what they say. It's not true that if you can remember it, you weren't there. Looks like that. Oh, God, that's also what it absolutely looks like.
What?
It looks like there's a big, in Columbus, Columbus Square in North Beach in San Francisco.
Yes.
It's a great big tree. And my clearest image of that tree is it being entirely outlined in black owing to the amount of LSD that I'd taken on the way to see the tree. We drove to see that tree. Not wise. Slowly, very slowly. Probably not as slowly as we thought. But that too, oh my,
yeah.
It does. It's exactly, the shape of that tree. It's the shape of old, you know, all the way that old trees mm-hmm. grow from their great center. But it's oddly, again, I'm struck by how shallowly rooted this.
Yes, the darkness is.
The darkness is, this thing.
So then in the balance of all the images so far, that's the least stable.
I don't know that stable is the word. Consequential in the long haul in some way.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, because it looks like housing developments in California.
Yes.
As though they're not, you know, they don't have basements and things.
Mm-hmm.
They just sit on the top of the land.
Right.
And in a way, this thing sits on the top of whatever it is it's sitting on. And it seems, And what's that brown stuff back there?
Yeah, you can't see the brown stuff on the big thing, but
you can.
No, it's kind of not the right color.
Oh,
it's the layer of just where the little trees are is actually brown.
Between the sky and the
black earth. And so the other thing that you can't see is that the burst has a kind of bright white before we get to the pink, right? It's kind of almost like a headlight kind of bright.
Yeah.
Right.
It glows out of it. Well, it looks like it should be water.
Mm.
The texture of it is the texture of water. And the color of it is the color of the desert, which, you know, reinforces the death part of it. But wildly.
Yeah.
I wish you could all have this in your lap, because if you sit here...
Right.
The glowing thing glows more and more and more and illuminates more and more of the black, though I think still dead tree, dying tree. And I think, I don't know. I think in my heart I don't think it's going to turn out all right. But I do think that there is the possibility of joy. Joy on the way down. And more joy... It gets... brighter as you
sit with it, doesn't it?
As you sit with it, and as you acknowledge that the tree's dead, in a way that's over then, it's dead, so all right.
Well, that goes back to the New Year's ball. It's like, you know, it's over. And then there's the new, which is brighter somehow. Now, there's another thing about this tree that in the sequence of all the images, there's been this dragon that has been slain and turned into earth, and things have grown out of it, and It's been slain again in a different form. And there is a way in which the way he's painted the bark has a kind of reminiscence of
it's got, what do you call it, scales.
Scales. And so in the sort of iconography of the book, the deadness that you're feeling of this tree has another layer, because this dragon keeps having to get killed and transformed and killed and transformed.
Well, and there's also, you know, this, the scaling.
Oh, you mean the sort of this. Old, right.
You will notice, those of you who have 6-month-old granddaughters, they don't look like this. It is, you can see what it's, in a way, what if, I mean, if you think of the dragon and the tree, you can see what it's made of as the sap of life is pulled from it, the dross.
Yeah.
In a way, the dross remains, and you see it looks like, it feels like that in a way. It doesn't, but you can also, it's also, you can see the patterns of it. The odd thing about...
Which odd
thing? Well, I don't know. I'm just thinking about being old. And how oddly peaceful I'm finding it. I mean, except that the world's coming to an end and everybody's going to die, but...
But personally, you're finding it peaceful.
And we're doing these horrifying things one to another. And you, I do like faith. I wonder about that. It becomes more... first, you can't figure out why most of the horrifying and stupid things you did as a person you did anyway, because how could it have mattered enough to do... Mm. What could have mattered enough to do that damage to another person, either your child or the people who love you the most, or your parents, these kinds of quotidian cruelties that we engage in, and when you're young, engage in with such wicked passion, you know. Mm-hmm. And somehow this wacky pink thing here, which insists upon glowing in the middle of in the middle of destruction, is a little bit like the gift, feels like the gift of peace on the other side.
The other side of the arc.
Yeah. It's an odd kind of peace because it's like this. Shot through with terror every once in a while.
And it's a nighttime piece.
Yeah.
It's a lunar piece. It's not full of sunshine and sort of logos, and, you know, it's a kind of interior nighttime piece, if it's peace.
Yeah. Alive, though. Mm-hmm. Alive. Golly. And it's so... The parts of the bark that are those, the kind of flashes of light it is as though those aren't parts of the bark, but some effect of the wacky glowing pink thing on the doomed.
Right, but not a direct
tree.
I mean, it's not like the pink thing is shining on it. It's somehow affecting, it's somehow attaching.
Yeah. These guys down here, though, they also, what they really look like, you know.
What do they really
look
like?
Oh, that stupid television program where the little head sat up and watched old horror movie, old space movie.
Oh, Mystery Science Theater. Yes! That's right, they look like the Bots and Joel and... looking at this film.
And we do that, you know.
What do you mean?
People... The times, you know, we move between being the object of the observation and the audience. Mm-hmm. And the audience here is a reflection of the thing they're looking at. Mm-hmm.
Because they're little versions.
They're little versions of it, and kind of, and without the...
Without the glowing thing in there.
Not the thing. Huh. And those ways, the ways in which, you know, the personal and the social versions of looking at the great and terrible things that go by.
Well, because they're also rooted. I mean, they're little trees, right?
Right. They seem actually much more firmly attached, much mm-hmm. more a part mm-hmm. of whatever it is they're a part of than the big thing. Mm. Mm. And the glowing pink wacky thing with the New Year's Eve that looks like it could fly away at any moment. In mm-hmm. fact, I keep thinking it will fly away.
Ah. So if I were to say that there's also a running motif through this of a white egg that gets transformed into this and that, bursts open, fire comes out, all kinds of things happen to this egg. If that were an egg, what would that, if the one up at the top were an egg, how might, because I don't know that it is, that Jung doesn't say it is, but if it were, how would that move your feeling about it?
It feels, I don't know, it feels as though it's an egg born of this thing rather than an egg out of which the thing was born.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it feels again like hope, a slender kind of hope. But it's dark this night. It's dark. It's very pure, that hope. Mm-hmm. Unearthly, the egg, as though...
Mm. I showed this to someone and mentioned I was thinking of showing this to you. And they said, oh, well, it's like wit.
Oh, well,
and
is
I thought,
I suppose it is, and yes, it is, of course.
But that doesn't mean you have to agree with that. It was such a stunning reaction of her to your looking at this.
Yeah.
She just immediately said, oh.
Well, of course it is in that way, but you know, because you're an actor too, the odd thing is that if you've never seen it, if you're in it.
Yes, right.
So it's different from the inside.
Yes, right. Right.
I know that it's exact. Of course, now that I see that it's certainly what was meant. It's certainly what was meant by Derek, by the director, who was, in fact, dying, and
was he?
Yeah, and nobody knew. I mean, he knew obviously, but And this, that astonishing image at the end of the play was important for him, and I believe that the power of his belief in the invincibility of the spirit, which is, I'm a kind of earthbound creature, and Derek was not an earthbound creature, and that the power of that apotheosis illuminated the entire production. I've always thought that. I've always thought it was a very good play. Mm-hmm. But it was made into something more than that by his direction of it and his image, the necessity that it glow in that way. And the power, I mean, it was astounding, the power of it, because it just grabbed people up out of their seats in the end. Mm-hmm. And was healing, which made me feel proud to have been part of it, because nice to be a part of that. Makes you wish for it, though, but...
You mean for that hope thing?
Yeah.
For that wacky pink thing?
Makes you wish for the wacky... as though the wacky pink thing could heal the wounds. I mean, not only the wounds of the world, but the wounds we've all, you know, we all inflict. So... inflict casually. Less, I think. I do think you learn to grow more careful of your fellows, you know. But I always think parents are so tricky, being a parent. Mm-hmm. Because you wonder, hope that your children will forgive you for it. But then... it gives you all something to do.
Yes, right. That's my business. Not right away.
She just looks like my granddaughter.
It looks like your granddaughter?
Whom I just saw, the wacky pink thing. I just saw a few minutes ago. And all the other, the granddaughter, you know, every granddaughter, you look at these places, the places where the black tree is triumphant, you know? And everybody there has, you know, beautiful granddaughters too.
But yes.
Or grandsons.
I had another association to this that had to do with acting, but we don't have to go there if you're following something else here.
No, I'm thinking of... it's odd. I mean, only one... I think of the, you know, the persistence of beauty and hope, in a way, in the human spirit is quite a remarkable thing. So I'm always struck when there are those, you know, the pictures of, that we all see all the time, the pictures of Darfur, and the fact that the women's veils are so astoundingly beautiful. You can't think, whenever I see those pictures, I think, how is that possible? Mm. How do you find it? How do you find Cerise in the middle of death somehow, and that always seems the hopeful thing, you know. I don't know how much good it does.
Well, what do you mean, how much good it does?
I mean, it seems sometimes trivial and naive to say such a thing because, you know, the women with the most beautiful veils are still raped and murdered and starved and have their children whacked into a million pieces. But if we are to get on with it somehow, it will be the, you know, cerise veils and the wacky pink thing in the middle that will save us, and not all those things that we, you know, not triumph in some way. I'm a big fan of Karen Horney's, and one of her favorite things is, which is true, the power of vindictive triumph. A wonderful feeling. We all know that it's a wonderful feeling. But it won't save us.
Right. And there's something about the cerise scarf that is beyond scarf.
Yeah.
It's something pure. It's something other. It's a relationship to beauty. It's a relationship to texture. It's a relationship to clothing oneself in something other than violence. I mean, it's a symbol.
Yeah.
I mean, you're reading it as a symbol, and you're hoping, I think we all hope, that there's some comfort in that.
And it does seem a persistent, I suspect everyone in this room listens to NPR, so you probably all heard the story, but it was, I did that a month ago or something, they discovered the oldest piece of textile,
which is a string,
really, a long, a kind of thick string, and it's colored.
Mm. Still.
Uh-huh. But at all.
Yes.
It's way older than any other piece of textile. Mm-hmm. And there was a wonderful exchange between the anthropologist and the interviewer, and the interviewer said, well, so why do you suppose they did that? And the anthropologist said, because it was beautiful.
Beautiful, yes. But that's true, right?
Yeah.
That's an archetypal comfort. That's a drive. It helps balance the dark tree. It connects us to nature. It connects us to other.
Yeah. And this, whatever it is we're currently engaged in, is not. There's no beautiful part of it. It causes, you know, the sort of battle between chaos and I'm afraid that the, I always am afraid, and this, it's what it happened when this thing that the that the entropy will take over, and the roll toward chaos will just.
Yeah, you know, it's both and, though, right?
Because I hope so.
Because we're talking about the world, and we're talking, and Jung is talking about the world in the Red Book in a way, because this sort of roll into the First World War was happening. But there's also a way in which he and I think we are also talking about how that happens internally. How the dread of one's own entropy, the dread of one's own black tree, you know, can terrify us in our own internal processing. And that this thread that you've brought into the room, this old thread, the cerise scarf, the wacky pink thing, is also an internal process, as well as a political and social process. I mean,
and a, you know, it's collective, the personal, the our personal terror is a collective, and we all go mad together.
Right.
You know,
right.
And think things are okay or human or something that aren't.
But then there's the wacky pink thing.
Yeah,
I don't mean to be Pollyanna over
I'm thinking that
do you know within
the moment there where the glowing what there was going on stopped and the black thing.
Because you see, I mean, I think there's also this thing that happens in our psyches that there's a kind of process where we go to the edge of the tree, and we are the tree, and we identify with the tree, and we're old, and we're decaying, and we're not rooted enough, right? And then there's another piece of psyche that's always trying to balance, and we'll sort of throw in another image, and then the tension of the two images starts to create meaning,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's the way we work as internally. You know, that there's always going to be a tension of two images or three images, or we're never just the tree.
Mm-hmm.
We're never just the wacky pink thing.
Right.
And if we are, then we're ill.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
The little bots down there.
Right.
Watching.
Then we're just subjective. You know, just observing, and we're not participating.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, that's what illness is, right? That when you're only one.
Yes.
If you only can see the tree, or you only can see the wacky pink thing, or you're only in the desert.
And somehow panic and rage take over.
Right.
And
I mean, that's also why we can slaughter each other.
Yeah.
Because we're not seeing the granddaughters.
Right. You don't. Yes, and the more you alienate the... It's not alienate, it's the wrong word. The more you separate the...
Yeah, you sort of objectify and
objectify the...
Yeah. And that's, I mean, not to beat a dead horse, but that's also true when we do that to ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we hate a part of ourselves so much that we disassociate from it completely.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're ill.
And recognize it in someone else and kill them.
That's right. That's exactly
or
right.
Or hurt them.
Right.
Yeah. Love that the rest of it's fairly regular, and the wacky pink things are random.
Right.
There's
everything
some
else
green
there's
pink
six
there too.
There's 16 rays, and the center of the wacky pink thing is an 8, and then inside, you know, it's all sort of geometric, and then inside it's going blah, 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 blah.
And then there's this, I was talking to the little pink dots around the outside
right.
too.
But what you're doing, going back and forth and back and forth, is how we relate to images. You know, if they're living, it's how we relate to any image, whether it's an icon or a religion or a text or a person. You know, we're always seeing, oh, there's that about you. Oh, there's that about you. You know,
and the people we've loved and the people we don't. There's that wonderful. I just saw Finian's Rainbow a while ago, and I mean, like a week or 2 weeks ago, which is a wonderful revival. And that song, "If I can't be near the one I love the one I'm near."
Mm-hmm.
It was a great kind of roar of recognition from everybody in the audience. We were a Broadway audience; they looked like kind of regular people, but they'd been there. And not beautiful as a thing.
Yeah, right.
You know, it isn't, it's quite not beautiful as a whole image.
Hmm. I had, before we go to questions from the audience, and if you want to just go, we'll go to audience.
But no, with you, no.
I had this association back to Stanislavski, where he says, I have the quote, but I'll just paraphrase. Well, no, I guess I'll read it.
Go ahead.
I'll read it. Because it's about a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe this would be useful. In order to produce a plant, you must sow the seed in the ground. That seed must decompose, and from it emerge the roots of the plant to be. In exactly the same way, the seed of the author's creation, that's the playwright's creation, must be planted in the soul of the actor. It must go through the stage of decomposition and then put forth its roots from which a new creation will be forthcoming. It will belong to the actor, but in spirit it will be the progeny of the playwright. So
Absolutely, that's the perfect... that's wonderful. I have got quite old and done this for a long time and have never read that, and it's a perfect...
Isn't that
description,
perfect?
Yes, yeah. Because the primary... In the theater, the primary artist is the playwright, the word. And I've always had that image of somehow when it's working, you've got it inside you and you surround it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like that, and then whatever it is comes out.
Yeah.
But it is an act of communication that you mediate between the playwright and the and the audience in some way.
Yeah.
And it is exactly that. And poor playwright, I hope they're on play. The horrifying life of the playwright is only being there during the decomposing of the seed section of the event.
Right? Yes, right.
When you can see them, they look like they will die. If there's any justice in the world, they'll die right then. So they don't have to suffer the horror of this for another...
It's a black tree.
Minute.
It's
it is. It's there black. It was a beautiful green and verdant creature.
Right.
And then it's this...
Right.
And then these people have made it into this black tree in front of me that doesn't have any roots and will...
Right. But then there's this wacky pink
thing
that becomes what you get to do. That's why I brought it, because I thought...
No, that's true.
In that way, that balance between the thing that's dying that gives the shape...
Right. Though that thing that you said and Stanislavski's description, this is very unsettling because of how shallowly rooted this tree is.
Yes,
it is. The whole thing is pretty provisional here.
Okay.
In this, it seems to me.
Yeah.
Whereas that...
Has roots.
Has roots. You know, roots... Mm-hmm. Roots, as far as roots can go.
Yeah.
Thank you both for this wonderful searching exploration. It's exactly what we would hope would happen.